Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I hope everybody is well. So what are we going to do today? Today and next week, most likely, preparation for, given that we are in Chodesh Adar, and Purim is less than 2 weeks away. Last week was Parsha Shkalim, when we read from Kitisa, Perek Lamed. The Gemara says, since Haman weighed out 10,000 talents of silver, for permission to kill the Jews, that our contribution, our silver, our machatzitza shekel, preempt Haman's machatzitza shekel. So last week we read Parsha Shkalim, and next Shabbos we will read Parsha Zachar, which is what I would like to speak about. Why do we read Parsha Zachar before Purim? We are fulfilling the mitzvah de oraisa of Zachar es asher salach ha'amalek. Haman in the Megillah is referred to as Haman ha'agagi, Haman ha'agagi, Mizara Amalek, the king Agag. So there are two times in the Chumash where the war with Amalek is mentioned to us. The first time is in Perek Yud Zayin, and that is in Parshas Bishalach. Right when the Jews have left Egypt, I'm just opening up. In this Chumash, it's on page 390, just to make it easy for you. It's in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches. So the first time the war of Amalek is mentioned is actually when the war happened. It's in Parshas Bishalach. Parshas Bishalach, the people have crossed the Reed Sea. The Egyptians have drowned in the sea. We have not yet gone to Parshas Yisro. So Shvi Shal Pesach is the drowning in the Reed Sea. And Matan Torah is 6 weeks after. So sometime, a few weeks after the drowning in the Reed Sea and the miraculous saving of the Bnei Yisrael, Amalek comes and attacks this newly freed nation. And this is what we find in Parshas Bishalach. When the war happens, the Torah recounts the battle for us. So if you could open up, if you're interested, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches, otherwise you could just listen, whatever you want. I mean Sefer Shemos. Okay, so it's a few weeks after Matan Torah. Vayavo Amalek vayilachem im Yisrael berefidim. Amalek came and they battled with Israel in Refidim. So out of nowhere, this nation comes and attacks us, newly freed slaves. Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe says, Al Yehoshua, to Yehoshua, Bechar lanu anashim, choose for us men. So Moshe commands Yehoshua to get an army together, people who are going to fight. Vitzei hilachim the Amalek, and go out and fight with Amalek. Machar, tomorrow, Anochi nitzav al Rosh Giva. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill. Umate ha'lokim biyadi. The famous Mata that Moshe does the miracles with, that Moshe does the signs before Paro, that Moshe splits the Reed Sea. The famous Mata will be in my hand, and you should amass an army and go out and fight against Amalek. Vayas Yoshua, Yoshua is the faithful Mesharis Moshe. Vayas Yoshua kasher amarlo Moshe. Yehoshua did like Moshe spoke to him. Lehilachem ba'amalek, to battle with Amalek. Umoshe Aaron v'chur alu Rosh Giva. Moshe, Aaron, and Chur went to the top of the peak. Rashi tells us, who is Chur? Rashi tells us, Benau Shal Miriam. I don't know where it is. Chur, Benau Shal Miriam. Hayah v'kalev bala. So he is the son of Miriam and Kalev. So at the top of the mountain, you have Chur, their nephew, Moshe, and Aaron. Vahaya kasher yari Moshe yado, v'gavar Yisrael. And it was when Moshe lifted his hands, Israel had the upper hand. Israel was successful. The kasher yaniach yado v'gavar Amalek. And when he rested his hands down, Amalek had the upper hand. And Rashi tells us, v'chi yadei yadav shel Moshe nozchim hayu ha'mechama. What does this mean? Were the hands of Moshe winning the war? When his hands were up, the Bnei Israel were winning. When his hands were down, the Bnei Israel was losing. Were the hands of Moshe responsible for winning the war? However, like the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says there that it is a reference to when the people of Israel lifted their eyes up to Shemayim. So the Bnei Israel were winning the war. Ein lanu amila hisha'ein ala alavinu shabashamayim. But when they put their faces down, when they looked downwards, they were losing the war. They forgot that Hashem, so to speak, was in charge. I just saw the most interesting thing. I just glanced at it this week. It was actually in the Five Towns in the Jewish Home. You know that newspaper? Yeah? So I don't know if anybody saw last week. They have like these interesting facts somewhere in the paper in a gray box on the bottom. And it said pigs, Chazir, P-I-G-S, pigs are physically incapable of looking up to the sky. I found that, I haven't Googled it to confirm that it's correct, but why would they put it in there? If, I mean, well, anyone could publish anything, but I'm sure that, I think that it's a true fact. I don't know why I think that, but I just do. Not that Google, whatever, it's fine. It's interesting because pigs are not kosher and they're emblematic of everything that we're not allowed to eat. If something's really not kosher, you say it's like chazer treif. Like that means it's the most, it might not have anything to do with chazer, it might not be bacon, it might not be pork, I don't know, it could be clams. It's an expression that means something is so treif, it's chazer treif. Even though we spoke about treifus min last week, okay. So I thought that it was interesting. It's extremely interesting that the most treif of all, the most usher of all animals is physically incapable of looking up to the heavens. I found that to be really a very interesting hashkafic and very telling vor. The most not kosher thing a person could do is never lift their eyes up to heaven, not to remember that the Ribono Shel Olam is running the show. So it really relates to this idea here. The Gemara says the hands of Moshe won the battle. No, when the Bnei Yisrael lifted their eyes up to Shamayim, they won the battle, represented by Moshe's hands being up. When they put their faces down and they forgot that Hashem is in charge, then Amalek won the battle. So I just thought it was very interesting. I saw pigs can't look up to heaven, physically incapable. I thought, wow, it really is a very strong hashkafic word. Okay, oh, we did that pasuk already. V'yidei Moshe kvedim pasuk yirbeis. Perek yidzayim pasuk yirbeis. And the hands of Moshe were heavy. Vayichu aven vayasimu tachtav. They took a stone and they put it underneath him. Vayeshev Allah, he sat upon it. Va'aron v'chur tamchu biyadav mizeh echad mizeh echad. Aaron and Hur, he was weakened from the battle with Amalek. Moshe had to hold his hands on this side and on that side. Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo hashemesh. What does that mean? That's a strange term. So Targum Unko says, Vahavo Yudohi Prisin Bitzilo Ada Al Shimsha. His hands were spread out in prayer until the sun came. Prisin Bitzilo, spread out in prayer. And furthermore, Rashi says the same thing. Vayihi Moshe Yadav Be'emuna. Prusos Hashamayim Bitafila Ne'emana V'Nechona. So both Unkos and Rashi tell you what it means that his hands were with Emuna. That's a strange phrase. Both Unkos and Rashi say he was praying, he was davening until the sun set, until the sun came. Vayachalosh Yoshua Asamalek Asamalu Ficharv. Yoshua weakened Amalek and his nation by sword. Weakened is not destroyed. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe. So again, this is when the battle actually happens. This is not what we read for Parsha Zachor. After this passage, we're going to go to what we read for Zachor, which is in Devarim, Chav Hei, Yud Zayin through Yud Tes. This is when the war actually happens, a few weeks after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ksov Zosi Karam Basefer. Hashem said to Moshe, write this a remembrance in the book. Notice the focus on the word Zikaron, which we're going to be speaking about. Next week, we have Parshas Zachor. It's not called Parshas Amalek. It's specifically called Parshas Zachor. We have this inyan of Zechira. And Hashem said to Moshe, could just say, Ksov Zot Basefer. Could just say, write this in the book. It doesn't need to say, Ksov Zot Zikaron. The emphasis being on Zikaron Basefer. Esim ba'asne Yoshua, write this a remembrance in the book and place it in the years of Yoshua. Ki macho emcha et zecher Amalek. There it is again. It could just say macho emcha as Amalek, which is really the point. Ki macho emcha et zecher Amalek mitachas hashemayim. I will destroy, I will wipe out, erase the memory of Amalek from under the heavens, the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. Vayiven Moshe mizbeach. Moshe built an altar. Vayikra shmo Hashem nisi. He called the altar, Hashem is my banner. Vayomer. Ki yod al keis kach. There is a hand against the throne of God. Mechama la Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. There is a war of God against Amalek in every single generation. So not only is it relevant to Purim and the mitzvah of Parshas Zachor, which the Sefer HaChinuch says, we fulfill the biblically mandated mitzvah once a year before Purim, before we read about the salvation. We remember Haman, who he was, the nation that he came from, and what they want to do to us in each and every generation, which is Lahashmi Laru Abedes Kol HaYehudim Minar Vadzakein Tafanashim. And it's relevant to Pesach also, which comes on the heels of Purim, because by Pesach, We lift a cup of wine by Magid and we say, Bechol dor v'dor, amdi malenu l'chaloseinu. So both of these events, Purim and Pesach, were instigated, the shibur and the annihilation, by an enemy who wished to destroy Knesset Yisrael. And who was the first one who came to destroy Knesset Yisrael a few weeks after Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was Amalek. So something is very interesting. In this, what is this, the stone? Yeah, the stone edition of Chumash. It always quotes, oh, someone wrote, because of their neck structure, unless they are lying on their backs, pigs are totally unable to look upward. Isn't that cool? It's really so interesting. It's such a hashkafic lesson. My gosh, no wonder they're the epitome of what is absolutely treif, not kosher, because how could you never, look upwards, no wonder we call things that are totally forbidden, chazar treif. I thought that was just incredibly fascinating, and it does relate to this idea, when you're looking upward, you rely on your Father in heaven, the B'nai shall have the upper hand. At the end of every sedra in the Chumash, it tells you how many psukim. Kuf, tes, zayin, psukim. If you're looking inside, it's in very small letters after the words midor dor. It's right there. You're not turning the page. You see what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, fine. Kuf, tes, zayin, psukim. Yud, dalet, amuna, simon. Samich, nun, alef, hey, simon. So what is this talking about? Look on page 393. It's telling you how many psukim there are in the sedra. 116 psukim. Kuf, tes, zayin is 116. And then it gives you I can never say the word. All these years of teaching, still can't say the word. Minonic? What? Mnemonic? But it actually starts with an M. The M is silent. Fine. Like the mnemonic to remember, Kol Shir Dibar Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma, is Exodus 24/7. Because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have to do what God says you have to do and you will listen. Mnemonic? Fine. So there's Kuf Tes Zayim Psukim, and then mnemonic is Yad Amuna Sina. So I just noticed this a little while ago. I actually have a sefer at home of David Feinstein Zatzal called Dodi on the Torah. I have called Dodi on Megillas Rus, called Dodi Rav David, called Dodi to play on Rizya, and called Dodi on Parsha. Rav David Feinstein focuses Zatzal very much on gematrius and expounding and these kind of simanim. So I just noticed a few weeks ago, actually, that at the end of every sedra, the last commentary is from Rav David Feinstein. Look on the bottom of page 393. The end of the sedra, after the commentary, you see it says Kuf Tes Zayin Psukim. I'm on page 393. Yad Amuna Siman Sina Siman. Do you see? Okay. This Mesoretic note meets, this note of Mesoretic means there are 116 verses in the sedra, which we already said, 116 psukim. Numerically corresponding to, there's the word, mnemonics, Yad Amuna and Sina. So Rabbi David Feinstein teaches this expression, Yad Amuna, hands of faith, is borrowed from the pasuk that we just saw, Vayihi Yadov Be'amuna Ad Bo Hashemesh, and alludes to the strength and faith that the Jews had when they saw the hand of God punishing the Egyptians at the sea. They saw Hashem's hand, Vayarisu Es Hayad Hagdola, Vayaminu Ba'Hashem. Yad Amuna, they saw Hashem's strong hand. It increased their Amuna. The word Sina is phonetically related to Sina with a sin, hatred, and alludes to the hatred Amalek felt towards Israel. It's just extremely interesting. I noticed this a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. It always says how many psukim there are. And then it tells you the mnemonic to remember how many psukim. So the gematria of Yad Amuna and Sina with a samech is Kuf Tef Zayin, but are these mnemonics coming to teach you? Yad Amuna, you could also say the B'nai Yisrael strengthen their own hand in faith, and Sina is Amalek's hatred for the B'nai Yisrael. So this is when the war actually happens. Now, in year 40 of desert wandering, before Moshe Rabbeinu's demise, Sefer Dvarim is known as Mishnah Torah, he reviews all the events that happened, and in the course of Sefer Devarim, the beautiful book of Sefer Devarim, he speaks about the war with Amalek. And that is what we read for Parsha Zachar. It's Devarim Chaf Hei Yud Zayin through Yud Tes. Devarim Chaf Hei Yud Zayin. Here we go. It's page 1066. Page 1066. And this is what is publicly read. And we have an obligation to go hear it read aloud. Zachor is asher salcha amalek. Now, remember there was a focus on ksov zo zikaron besefer, kimacho emcha et zecher amalek. And here too, zachor is asher salcha amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you, baderach betzeischem in Mitzrayim, on the way when you were leaving Egypt. So this is 40 years later. Asher karcha baderach, they chanced upon you on the way, from the Lashon Mikra. A number of meanings to karcha. One is from the word kar, cold. Rashi tells us the famous mashal that everyone was afraid to touch Knesset, so they were too hot, until Amalek jumped into the bathtub and the Amalek got burned, but they showed everyone that it's really not so hot. Asher karcha, lashon kar, from cold, they cooled Israel off before the nations of the world. Karcha is lashon mikra, chance. Everything is just random chance in the eyes of Amalek. Rashi also says it's lashon keri, mishkav zachur. They made Israel impure, says Rashi, through keri, homosexual relations. So this is three interpretations of karcha. Ayizani b'chol kol hanechashalim acharacha. They tacked the weak ones at the rear. Why is it use this word vayizanev? It's a strange word. So Rashi says makat zanav, a blow to the tail. Hayachoseich milos. They would cut off the place of bris mila. Hayazore klap amala and throw it up to shamayim. Amalek is so cruel, so depraved, so immoral. It's impossible for us to fathom the depths of such immorality. Va'ata ayef ve'yageya, you were tired and weary. Ve'lo yarei Elokim. There's a machlokus about who didn't fear God. Was it Amalek or was it the Bnei Yisrael? But Rashi goes with Amalek was not God-fearing. V'haya b'haniach Hashem elkecha l'cha mikol evecha misaviv. We'll read this next Shabbos. Second Tevar Torah is taken out. It will be when God gives you rest from all your enemies around. But aretz asher Hashem elkecha noseinucha nachal alavishta. And the land. So this is not Mechias Amalek. First of all, it's not relevant today. It's not applicable today. It's not doable today, whether you're in Chutzlarts or in your in Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, the Mechias Amalek will occur when you have sovereignty in the land where you are going and you have rest from your enemies. What shall you do? Timcha et zechar Amalek. You see how much focus there is on the memory, on the remembrance of Amalek. We saw it two times in Beshalach, Ksav zo zikaron b'sefer, kimecho emcha et zechar Amalek. This passage begins with the word zachor. We call the whole Shabbos, Shabbos parsha zachor. Timcha et zechar Amalek mitachas hashamayim. You should erase the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. Lo tishkach, you shall not forget. So these are the two passages in Chumash that deal with Amalek. And ad hayom hazeh, we are still contending with Amalek. I've said it many times. Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal says, who is Amalek today? Because biologically, Amalek was a grandson of Esav. Esav Alifaz Amalek. So the original Amalek in Sefer Bereishis is a grandson of Esav Harasha. He inherited his grandfather's Ayishtam Esav, Es Yaakov, Alabrachos, Asher Bercho Aviv. Ayomer Esav Beliba, Yikrevu, Yiknei Eva, Aviva, Aharga, Es Yaakov Achi. Amalek inherited this trait from his grandfather Esav, of this deep-seated, non-negotiable, fight-to-the-death hatred of the Jew. But today, Rav Chaim Brisker says that Amalek is anyone from any nation who rises to destroy you. So it used to be there was a nation Amalek, a biological, actual person Amalek. Agag was the king, Haman came from him. Today we don't know exactly who is descended from those actual people of Amalek. Amalek today, Rav Salvecha quotes it in the name of his grandfather Zatzal. Amalek is anyone. Amalek, Rachmana Letzlan, rears its ugly head all too often. Fenafalmi menu Rav, Afilu Yachid. Hashem says by Matan Torah, they should not touch the mountain, Perek Yates, unless many will fall. Maybe only one person will touch the mountain and one person will fall. So Rashi says, Afilu Yachid, Nechshav Lefanei Kirov. Even if one Jew falls, it's considered before God like many. Amalek has not left us alone until this very day. So I'm going to begin with an interesting var / cute source. Unusual source. So it says about Amalek when they came to attack us. We're still on page 1066 in Devarim Chav Hei. Va'ata oyef v'yageya. You were tired and weary. Rabbi Dov Lippmann, who was the first English-speaking Olam member of Knesset, told over the following story I read in a Nefesh B'Nefesh magazine a number of years ago. And he said he had his aha moment, when he realized he was in the right country, in the right place, and he made the right decision to make Aliyah. He was in a taxi a couple of months after he came on Aliyah, and he said the taxi driver was not visibly dati, as we would classify a person based on dress, tattoo, shaved head, whatever he was. He did not look like a dati person. And he asked Rabbi Dov Lippmann, how are you? So Rabbi Lippmann said, Ani ayef, I'm tired. So the taxi driver said to him, you shouldn't say Ani ayef. You should say, I need a rest. And then the taxi driver said to him, because there are only two times in the whole Chumash that we have this idea of ayef, ayefut, tired, and both times are in regard to Amalek. So you should not say ani ayef. Rabbi Dov Lippmann said, I'm in the taxi, and the driver's giving me a dvar Torah. This clearly non-religious driver is giving me a dvar Torah about how I should speak based on the lashon of Chumash. I realize that I am in the right place. One time that we see it is here, b'feirush, va'ata ayef v'yageya, when we feel a sense of weariness, exhaustion, weakness in our avodas Hashem, it gives Amalek an in to come and attack us. The other time we see it is by the grandfather of Amalek, who we just mentioned, and that is Esav HaRasha. At the end of Perek Chav Hei in Bereishis in Toldos, Yitzchak is cooking a lentil stew. Yaakov is cooking a lentil stew. Esav is hunting in the field. At the end of his day of hunting, he comes back from the field and he says to his brother, Halitaina min ha'adom ha'adom hazaki ayef anochi. Pour some of that red stuff into me, for I am tired. Esav declares about himself the sense of ayefus. Yaakov makes a deal with him. Merchar lan li hayom ha'bechora. Esav says, lama zeli bechora. Hine anochi holeich lamus. Ayeves Esav esa bechora. And Esav says, you're right. Why do I need the rights to the firstborn before Chet HaEgel, which is coming up in Kitisha? The firstborn, we're going to be doing the Avodas Hashem, the Korbanos and the Avoda. And Esav is just tired. He's weary. He wants to go through life sleeping in spirituality. He doesn't want anything in spirituality. He wants the Abba spirituality. So the enemy of Amalek, one of the aspects of the enemy of Amalek is a Yefus in Avodas Hashem. A person should just feel tired. You should feel weary. You should feel lackadaisical. Forget having any excitement for Avodas Hashem. Forget having any zrizus or alacrity. It doesn't matter. Just go through life as a servant of God, or rather not a servant of God, asleep. And therefore it's fascinating, because you know when we see a word in Chumash, I talk about it all the time, it's extremely significant. It's extremely significant that the only two times you see the concept of ayefus, I mean, it's not something you can make up. The only two times you see it is in the context or the environment of Esav / Amalek, who are one and the same, grandfather / grandson. And it's something that we have to combat, and it's something that we have to battle. Today's day and age, everything comes so easy to us. Whatever you want to order is available. Alexa runs your house. Everything is automated. You practically don't need to get off the couch anymore if you don't want to. Avodas Hashem is the opposite of that. Avodas Hashem represents a drive and a striving and a zrizus. And Amalek wants us to just be tired. My son told me, I think he told it to me last year. I don't know which rabbi told it to him, but Amalek stands for Amel Kuf. Amel, Amelus. To you, Amel in Betorah, in Bechukosai, Teilechu, Perachavav, Vayikrach, Bechukosai, in Bechukosai, Teilechu, Venasati, Geshmech, and Beitam. What's in Bechukosai, Teilechu? So Rashi says, to you, Amel in Betorah. You have to work hard. You have to toil at Torah. Amalek is a sense of hard work. Amalek says Amel Kuf. What does Amel Kuf mean? Only toil 100 times. What is that referring to? We know that the Gemara tells us you can't compare what you learn 100 times to what you learn 101 times. So a person should never say, I heard this Vart already, because I don't know if we've heard that Vart 100 times. Certainly, I don't know if we heard it 101 times. What are Chazal telling us? You always have to go the extra mile. Don't ever become complacent. If you learn something 100 times and we're coming up to the year side of Hasar HaTorah, HaGa'on, HaRashka Bahag, HaRav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadev HaKadosh Levracha, and Shushan Purim, and he had the Chovos, and he had the Siyam HaKol Torah Kulo every year. He certainly learned it more than 100 times. So why do you keep learning if you learned it already? Don't you know it? Haven't you heard that word? Haven't you seen that Rashi, that Tosfos, that piece of Tanakh, that Pasuk? Why are you learning it again? Because Amalek says, stop. You've had enough. Amel Kuf, a reference to, you can't compare what you learn 100 times to what you learn 101 times. For a Yid, for a Jew, for an Eved Hashem, it's never enough. We must toil beyond the point of where we think we did enough. So that's the first thing, that first aspect of Amalek, first lesson, and that is the idea of a yefus. And yes, sometimes we get tired. I say the phrase a lot. I shouldn't, but I do say I'm tired a lot. But one of my boys, just a couple of weeks ago, he came in and I said to him, how are you? And he said, I'm tired. And then he said, I need a rest. And that's at the cat, because he knows this far, because they've heard it from their mother before. And the cabbie said to MK Rabbi Dov Lippman, former MK Rabbi Dov Lippman, you shouldn't say I'm tired. You could say, I need a nap. You say, I need a rest. But don't speak like Amalek wants us to speak. Okay, that's the first idea. The next idea that I want to talk about with you is, what is V'lo Yare Elokim? Okay, we just did V'ata Ayefi Yageya. I'm in Parachof Hey Pasuk Yirchas. What does it mean, V'lo Yare Elokim? They didn't fear God. First of all, Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch points out in his commentary to Chumash, to be a Yirei Elokim, to fear God, is to see God. It's the same Shorash, Ani Ro'eh Etchen. So to revere the Almighty is to see Him in your life. I believe very much that the study of Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, I attribute it to the study mostly of Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, which has made me so focused on Shorashim. I just taught earlier this week, I'm not going to get into now, maybe a different time, but it's amazing, because in an in-depth Megillas Esther class, Taba'at, which is a signet, is the same source of Teva, which is nature, is the same source of drowning, as in Tubu B'Yamsuf. If you look it up, we say it every day. So we know, we have a principle that if words in Lashon HaKodesh share a shoresh, there has to be connections. That means there has to be a connection between signet ring, nature, and drowning. Okay, so I really believe that studying Rav Hirsch has really made me so focused on Shorashim, because that is his approach. So first of all, he points out, V'lo Yirei Elokim, and he wrote, Etchan, to see and to fear are synonymous. If one sees the Almighty in his life, I don't mean literally see, you sense the Almighty, you're aware of God's presence, then you have a sense of Yir Shamayim. Shuvisi Hashem the Negdi Sami, Tehillim 16, Eki Mini Baal Emad, if Hashem is before me always, I revere, Dalif Nehmi Atah Omeid, I see Him, so to speak, and therefore I revere Him. So that's what Shamsher Fall Hirsch says. But what does it mean, V'lo Yirei Elokim? Would you expect Amalek to fear God? No, that's right. We don't expect Amalek to fear God. Pharaoh didn't fear God. What's the first thing Paro said when Moshe appears on the scene? Parakei Pasuk Beis and Shemos. What's the first thing he says? Moshe says, Elokei Ivrim Nirai Leinu. And what does Paro say? Thank you very much. Lo Yadati Es Hashem V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Shaleich. Ami Hashem Es Yashma B'Kolo. I don't know who this is. I don't know God. I'm not sending Israel. Paro is the epitome of egocentricity. Li Ya'ori, says the Pasuk in Yechazkel, V'ani Asisidi. Paro saying, I am the river God. I am mighty. I created. So what do we think? Does Esav fear God? What does Esav say when he sells the bechor for lentil soup? Lama le zeli bechora. What do I need obligation? What do I need avodas Hashem for? Vani olech lamus. I'm going to die anyway. This world is finite. I have no purpose. You could have it. So Amalek doesn't fear God. So what is the pasuk telling me? Amalek doesn't fear God. Maybe there's a deeper message, because it can't be that Amalek, that the Torah is giving you such a chiddush. Amalek doesn't fear. The Torah already told you. Vayizane b'chol kol nechshayim acharecha. And what did Rashi tell you? I told you what Rashi says. Makat zanav, a blow to the tail. Hayachoseich milos vizore klape mala. So does that sound like a person who fears God? My son, I asked him to send it to me. So my son in the spring of 2016, our eldest in the spring of 2016, wow, it's a long time ago already. His first year in Israel, before he came home for Pesach, he went on one of those Poland trips. I don't remember which group we sent him with, but he went on a Poland trip. And this is from his notes. I just asked him to send it to me. He still has his notes, and this is from his notes. Ari's notes from his Poland trip, spring 2016. Tarno. So he has the location and then notes on the location. Tarno. T-A-R-N-O-W. On the outskirts of one of the many suburbs of the city of Tarno, there's a monument in the woods to the Polish resistance fighters who fell fighting the Nazis. If you walk into the woods, this was written as he's there. And oh, he told me, this is what the tour guide said. He told me he's taking notes as the tour guide is speaking. So when they came to Tarno, they went to the outskirts of one of the many suburbs of the city. And there's a monument in the woods to the Polish resistance fighters who fell fighting the Nazis. If you walk into the woods a bit further, you will find two rectangular areas that are crossed off by a blue fence. So there's two big rectangular areas and you can't go past because there's a blue fence. The fences and the ground inside are decorated with Israeli flags, pictures, rocks, and children's toys. So clearly it's some sort of mass grave, and people come there, they visit this mass grave, and they have Israeli flags, pictures, rocks, you put Vayisimu Evan Tachtav, you put a rock by a metzeva, and children's toys. This spot, these two rectangular spots, are where approximately 1,000 children, 1,000 Jewish children, under the age of 10 years old, were murdered, some as young as 2 months old. The Nazis brought the older children, he has the word older in quotes, meaning like the 8, 9, and 10-year-olds were the older children. The Nazis brought the older children on the trains. They forced them to run through the town to get to the forest. If they didn't run fast enough, the children were shot in the streets. The babies were brought in on dump trucks, which were backed up to the pits. The bed of the truck was raised, dumping out the babies like gravel. I'm quoting directly. I asked him to send it to me. Before I tell you what V'lo Yarei Elokim means. These were the enemies of the Third Reich, children who could not even hold a bottle. Children who thought about toys, not about government resistance. These are the enemies the Third Reich decided was the biggest threat to their nation. I didn't remember where the town was. I didn't remember its notes, but I remember at the time, it's 2016, 7 years ago, because he went before Pesach. And I remember what he told me about the dump trucks, that they bought in the babies on dump trucks, they lifted the bed, and they poured them out like gravel. What does it mean that Amalek was not Yirei Elokim? Does anyone think Amalek is Yirei Elokim? Now we know the Torah doesn't waste words. So what is this talking about? I'm going to quote an interesting, unusual source. My father actually brought this word to my attention last week. It's called The Dawn by Yoram Chazoni. Political teaching of the Book of Esther. It's not usually the kind of book that I'm not saying anything bad. It's not usually the kind of book that I have time for or read. And it happened to be sitting on my bookcase. And my father mentioned this word to me, and I went to look it up. It has a haskama from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, president of Yeshiva University. Khazani makes Megillat Esther come alive in a manner that's realistic and fascinating. Details which I had read again and again for the past 60 years, which made no particular impression on me, suddenly came alive with a significance that never occurred to me, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Okay, not a typical source, I'll be honest, I haven't read the rest of the book at all. But when my father mentioned this word to me, he said to me, I was talking to him last week, and he said, what is V'lo Yerelkim? Does anyone think Amalek fears God? So it's a good question. I read that passage to you. What did Paro say? When the baby comes out, it's mamish between the mother's legs. It had just come out. You're looking at the birthing stone. Check the baby. If it's a male, kill him right then and there. Strangle the baby. Amalek doesn't fear God. What's the Chumash telling me? So at first I looked it up, but it wasn't so hard to find because the chapter is called Amalek. So I figured it's probably in the chapter called Amalek, and it is. So I'm going to quote from this book called The Dawn by Yoram Chazoni. Okay. Yoram Chazoni is a senior fellow at the Shalem Center in Jerusalem. He's the author of The Jewish State, The Struggle for Israel's Soul. His articles on Judaism, Zionism, and Israel have appeared in the New Republic, Commentary, Weekly Standard, and Azur. He lives in Jerusalem with his wife, Yael, and their 7 children. Okay. Copyright 1995. Okay. What does it mean, V'lo Yarei Elokim? And more than what it means about V'lo Yarei Elokim, what does it teach us about Knesset Yisrael? This is a very profound and extremely moving, beautiful insight and answer. I'm going to quote. The taste of blood of Jewish wives and children had done its work. The Amalekites have gained themselves peace from the Jews for 40 years and more. He's talking about how Amalek first attacked, right when they left Egypt. And then if you remember, when the Meraglim go, earlier in the chapter, this is his build-up, when the Meraglim go to scout out the land in Bamidbar Yud Gimel, they come back. Does anyone remember when they give a report? What do they say? It's very nice. It's Zavat Chalav Udvash. Very good. But, FS, who dwells in the south? Amalek. Amalek Yoshev Be'aretz HaNegev. Now, they are in the south. They left Egypt. They have to go up to Canaan. So that means who are they going to encounter directly on their way up into Canaan? Amalek. Now, what is the people's memory of Amalek? Amalek is the one who came when we just left Egypt and cut off Milos. So Amalek has gained 40 years and more during the time which Amalek continues their abominations at leisure. In other words, they gained 40 years. Because the people were scared of Amalek, so they don't want to go in, and now they wander the desert for 40 years. In this dreadful episode lies the basis of the Jewish war against Amalek from generation to generation. Amalek's wrong, listen carefully, is in its insistence on savaging those least capable of defending themselves. Who does Amalek attack? They are savages, but who, against who? The Ata Oyef V'Yageya. Those least capable of defending themselves. In Tarno, in the outskirts, in the forest, there are 2 rectangular spaces gated off with blue gates. And this is where 1,000, the oldest children, were 10 years old. The youngest were newborn babies. Amalek insists on savaging those least capable of defending themselves for the pleasure of it. Rav Soloveitchik describes in The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, commentary on Tisha B'Av and the Kinnas, that the Nazis took particular pleasure in killing babies. So the elderly, he speaks about it, the elderly and the children. And the Rav says they would take babies out of their mother's arms. The Rav writes this. It's hard to say and even hear. They would swing the babies, look it up, it's in The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, throw them against the brick wall in front of the mothers. The head would break open and the brain matter, I'm sorry that I have to even say it, the brain matter would drip down the wall. Amalek insist on savaging those least capable of defending themselves for the pleasure of it, or because it is the least strenuous method of asserting control and bringing Jewish military power to its knees. So either they enjoy it, or because it's the easiest way to win over these people. An invalid or a child is for Amalek a tempting target, precisely because the invalid or the child is no threat at all. Who does Amalek attack? The weak ones, Nechashalim Acharecha, the weak, the defenseless, the 9 and 10 year old children. If they can't run through Tarno fast enough before they get to the forest, where they're going to be shot anyway, are shot in the streets. The invalid or child is for Amalek a tempting target, precisely because it is no threat at all. And once he is willing to ask what good may come of destroying these, the invalid, the child, he inevitably finds himself satisfactory answers. You can bring an answer to anything if you want. My grandfather writes, in his memoirs, which I quote from often, in 7 camps in 3 years, the last thing I read is about Amalek, who thrive on attacking the weak, the invalid, the children. That's what Paro did. How did he start with? Infanticide. He started with the children, with the babies. Last pasuk of Paragav. He started with the babies. What did Haman want? 3:13. Lahashmid la'arug la'abed es kol yudim. Mina'ar. Who did he start with? Na'ar v'adzakin. Taf v'nashim. Isn't that an interesting statement? He doesn't say the giborim, the anashim, the males between 20 and 60. Lahashmid la'arug la'abed es kol yudim. Mina'ar v'adzakin. What is that? The 10-year-olds to the 80-year-olds. Taf, the babies, the nurslings, and women. Doesn't even mention the men. Amalek's entire platform is to kill the weak. Nechashalim acharecha. Ata ayefi agay. Those who can't run fast enough. The invalids. Who does Amalek go to? 2 children at a bus stop, 5 and 7 years old. My son said, one of the boys, Yonatan, he said, how could you look at a 2 children like that and drive into them? What does it mean, velo yare elokim? Obviously they're not yare elokim. Who could take a dump truck full of babies and dump them out like they're gravel? What does it mean, velo yare elokim? What's the Torah chiddush here? You don't need to tell me they don't fear God. We all know they don't fear God. What does it mean not to fear God? A certain Sunday, writes my grandfather, one day after Passover in the year 1942, he writes that the Nazis already came in 39. He was in Poland. The great catastrophe began. I remember everything. He was 25 when the war broke out. As if it just happened. All that I sat down here in writing, I have seen with my own eyes. About noon, shooting broke out in the streets. A placard was displayed. All Jews, men, women, and children, must be present in the marketplace at 2 o'clock. Whoever will be found later in their houses will be shot. My grandfather writes, I hid several Jews, as well as my father, in our house, risking my life. I lay on the floor. I witnessed the entire hell that occurred to half the city's residents. Jews were running from every street, women with children. An invalid or a child is for Amalek a tempting target, precisely because it represents no threat at all. Jews were running from every street, women with children. The villainous Germans photographed this horrendous incident. And our neighbors of 1,000 years, the anti-Semitic Poles, stood in the street delighting in our overwhelming misfortune. 4 hours later, I saw a picture forever present in my memory. A lineup of 2,000 Jews, men, women with children, all of whom I knew personally. I remember one young man, a student in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He stood beside Yaakov Mendelis, who cradled his newborn child in his arms, quieting the child's cries. It began to rain, and the cries of the child were heart-rending, but no one was able to help. I saw a boy who was familiar to me, Moishi, who from birth was a cripple, and the renowned Dr. Salvechik from Warsaw healed him free of charge and straightened his crippled leg so he could walk with the help of a cane. Just then in the chaos, a hateful SS man aimed his rifle as the cripple, I'm sorry, it wasn't politically correct, I'm quoting from the memoirs. As he, Moishe, with his cane, was not able to follow the column quickly enough. I heard one of the murderers who came out of the house of Rav Peretz the Shoicha. He said, in the house is a man lying in bed. What shall we do with a man who is unable to get up and lying in bed? Make him well was the significant answer. I immediately heard a shot. The next day, I found Rav Peretz Shoichet in bed. He had been shot in the throat. I remember Israel Weisenberg the next day, Rav Avramel Malamed's son, the son of the town Malamed. He stood by the mass grave. He recognized his parents. He recited Kaddish and studied Mishnayos by heart. Purim is a wonderful Yom Tov of Vayhudim Ha'isha'or V'simcha V'sasam V'ikar, but there's a mitzvah that comes before Matanas Lavyonim Mishloach Manos, and it's Parsha Zachar. Who is Amalek? What is Amalek? We are still contending with them today. Lo tishkach. It makes you uncomfortable to hear it. Lo tishkach. Do not forget. An invalid or a child, going back to Yoram Chazoni, for Amalek is a tempting target precisely because it is no threat at all. And once he is willing to ask, what good may come of destroying these? My son wrote, it's so interesting, this is the enemy of the Third Reich. Sarcastic. Well, it wasn't sarcastic. That was the enemy of the Third Reich. He inevitably finds himself satisfactory answers. In so calculating, Amalek pursues his own ends, whatever these may be, without any threshold to stay his hand. Amalek concerns himself with no consequences. Lo yareakim, no consequences. In the language of the book of Moses, Amalek fears not God. Chafei Yurchas. And he brings himself into collision with the outlook of the Jews. Because to fear God in Yahadus is the cornerstone of the entire structure of the law and of civilization itself. He quotes the Pasuk. It's in Devarim Yud Beis. Yes, Baruch Hashem. Page 990 if you want to see it. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem elkech sho'el mimach. And now, it's in Ekev. Chapter 10, verse 12 in Devarim. And now, Israel, what does God ask from you? What's the first thing? Ki im liyira et Hashem elkecha. The first thing you have to know is to revere God. Then, lalachas b'chol drachav, to go in all his ways. Then, ulahava also, la'avaras Hashem elkecha b'chol vavcha b'chol nafshecha. Amalek's lack of fear of God brings him into direct collision with the thought of the Jews, in which fear of God is the cornerstone of the entire structure of the law, of civilization himself, as the book of Moses demands. And now, Israel, what does your God seek of you? Le'yira es Hashem Elokecha. Contrary to what we might think, says Yaron Chazoni, the difference between the man who fears God and the one who fears not is not necessarily emotional at all. You think we may be speaking about an emotion. Fear is an emotion. Reverence, awe is an emotion. You see the Gadol Dor, you have a certain sense of emotion. So you might think to be God-fearing like Israel, to be not God-fearing like Amalek means an absence or presence of a certain emotion. But actually, says Yom Chazoni, perhaps it is not necessarily being afraid. Rather, the difference is that the man who fears God, the Yirei Elohim, exhibits this reverence, by behaving differently towards fellow men. To fear God is to know how to treat your fellow man. Specifically, how to treat those who cannot help themselves. How to treat the invalid, the child. It's incredible. Lahash midar galbet is called Yehudi, but then who does Haman delineate? Nar v'zokin, taf v'noshim, b'yom echad. He doesn't even mention the man. He doesn't mention the giborim. To revere, to be a yirei Elohim, means that you know how to treat your fellow man. It is evident from use of this phrase in different expressions in the book of Moses. And I'm going to show you a number of them. In Perek Yud Tes, Parshas Kedoshim, Vayikra Yud Tes. Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. When I find it, I'll tell you what place it is. The Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. Oh, here we go. Page 660. You're just listening, that's also fine. Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Page 660. Vayikra Yud Tes Yud Dalet. Lo sikal al cheresh, you should not curse the deaf person. Ve'lefnei iver lo sitein mechshol, before a blind person, you should not put a stumbling block. So what category of people are we speaking about? The invalid, the weak, the defenseless, those who can't help themselves. The nechashalim acharacha. How does the pasuk end? You're looking inside. V'yareisa me'elokecha. V'yareisa me'elokecha. What does it mean to be Yirei Shamayim? It means to be moral, ethical, to know how to treat your fellow human beings, specifically those who Amalek does not know how to treat. I saw Moishi, who the renowned Dr. Soloveitchik from Warsaw had healed. He was a cripple, and Dr. Soloveitchik healed him free of charge so he could walk with a cane. He could not keep up with the column quickly enough, so he was shot. Lo sikalel cheresh. The Torah warns you, don't be like those people. I'm not talking about the drash on these psukim. It's not interpreted by anybody as psha. But right now, let's look at the psha. It's significant. There's also the psha of the Torah of Cooperman used to say. Do not curse the deaf person. Why? Because they are weak in society. Do not put a stumbling block before a blind person. Don't create barriers for the cripple because he cannot keep up quickly enough. V'yareisa me'elokecha. When you know how to treat those people, it means you're God-fearing. Parshas Kedoshim, a few psukim later. Mipnei, page 664, 1932. Not as in the year. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Mipnei seva takum. Nar v'adzokin taf v'nashim. How does the Torah say you should treat the older person? V'knei seva takim. Before the hoary head you shall rise. V'hadarta p'nei zokin. What did Haman say about the p'nei zokin? Put them into the crematoria, said Haman. Nar v'adzokin. What does the Torah say about the seva and the zokin? V'knei seva takim. V'hadarta p'nei zokin. What are the next words? What are the next words? V'yareisa me'elokecha. Specifically, when the Torah uses v'yareisa me'elokecha, who do they use it in context with? We have just seen. Who? The weak, the downtrodden, the invalid, the child, the elderly. What does it mean that Amalek is lo yarei Elohim? Obviously, they don't fear God. This isn't an emotional experience, suggests Yoram Chazoni. It's a lack of morals. It's a lack of ethics. It's the most depraved behavior there is because you don't see the tzelem Elohim in the other person. Remember last year when Alta Fixler, you know Alta Fixler, you know the name? If not, go Google it. When the British courts decided her life was not worth living, the Pope pleaded, the Israeli government pleaded, the American government pleaded, well, take her out. We don't want anything from you. Let us fly her out of the country. It will not be a burden on your health system. It's beyond belief. She was the three child in as many years. Forget the names, I'm sorry, I shouldn't forget. Of the other two, in a span of 5 years, the British court said this to three children, three crippled, to quote my grandfather, children. Of course, when we finish here, I'm going to remember the name of the little boy. Two were not Jewish, and the Alta Fixer came from a frum family. And her parents waited 6 years, 8 years, to have her. And the courts decided her life was not worth living. They didn't even want anything from her. Let's just fly her out of the country. And the British courts killed her. What does it mean to be Yirei Elohim? That when you see a blind person, a deaf person, an older person, a Malik is attacks them. That's not the way of the Torah. That's the way of depravity. Givaldik. What does Avram say to Sarah when they are going down to Egypt? Parak Yud Beis. Imina achosi at. Say you are my sister. Now I know you are a very beautiful woman. It's on page 56. One second. Wait. Maybe it's not on page 56. Maybe it's when they go down to Avi Melech. One second. And he says, now I know ki in Yirei Elohim b'makom hazeh. Was it when by Avi Melech? Can't find it right now. Avram says to Sarah, "Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh." Does anyone remember where it is? Okay. It's by Avimelech. It's not by Paro. My mistake. Avram Avinu says, by Avimelech, when he takes Sarah, why did you do this? You brought death almost upon us. It's on page 92. It's on page 92. I apologize. It's not when Paro took her. It's when Avimelech took her. It's in Bereishis Perek Chof, Pasuk Yir Aleph. Avimelech says, why did you do this? You brought death almost upon me. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife, not your sister? Vayomer Avram, ki amarti rak ein yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. V'harguni al devar ishti. Because I know you are a completely immoral people. You have no fear of God means you have no ethics, no morals, no boundaries. You will cross any line to get what you want. Going back to Yom Chazoni. The difference between the man who fears God and the one who fears not, is not necessarily emotional at all. It is not necessarily a matter of actually being afraid, which is how we translate it. It is the highest significance that the man who fears God behaves differently towards his fellow man. What is my grandfather, right? He was 25, 2 years after the war, about 3 years, he was 28. He was married with a child. I hid several Jews in my home, risking my life, including his elderly father. Other Nazis in the street were shooting women and children and cripples and crying babies. To be a Yirei Elohim does not necessarily mean to have an emotion or not have an emotion. One who is a Yirei Elohim, one who fears God, behaves differently towards fellow man. As is evidence from use of this expression in the book of Moses, you will not curse the deaf, do not place a stumbling block. The Yireisim Elokecha. Oh, he brings another quote. Love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You will fear the Eternal, your God. Similar verses associate the fear of God with respect for the aged, I showed you. The refusal to engage in fraud, the abuse of one's bondsmen, or extortion from those who have taken on loans. In each of these cases, the Torah speaks of being a Yirei Elohim. Each case is the same premise. One may easily take advantage and harm one who is dependent and weak. The deaf, the aged, the farmer, the slave. A person who is a Yirei Elohim will recognize a line which he may not cross. While one who is low Yirei Elohim will recognize no such line, as suggested by Avram's infamous assessment to Avimelech. Rak en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'har gunia al davar yishti, you will kill me. What does it mean that they did not fear God? Obviously they didn't fear God. It means that they lack all morals, all ethics, all kindness, all sensitivity upon which a healthy society is founded. It is survival of the fittest to the utmost. It means if a baby is born and the courts decide who shall live and who shall die, we won't even let her go out of the country. We don't even want anything from you. Does anyone remember the little boy's name? When we finish this year, I'm going to remember right away. In that case, the Italian court said, we're going to send a helicopter to the roof of the airplane. The Pope was involved. If I asked my son, he would remember in a second. We're going to send a helicopter to the roof, the landing pad of the children's hospital. We will fly the child out of England. We're going to take the child to Italy. They won't let. We decide a crippled life is a life not worth living. Whereas the Torah says, to save 1 minute of life, you're Mechalel Shabbos. And I was thinking how incredible it is. I just want to finish this thought. Next week, we're going to start with the focus on Zachor. K'sov zo zikaron b'sefer. Ki malcho emcha et zechor amalik. Zachor is the shor salach amalik. How amazing it is that in the aftermath, if you will, in the climax of the Akedas Yitzchak, Hashem commands Avram to shecht his son, the one you love, your only one, Perachav Beza Bereshis. And they go, Vayelchu Shneem Yachtav, Yeslam Achelas, the Eish, Aye Hasela, Ola Hashem Yura, La Ola Bini. And at the moment he's about to shecht his son in this Nisayon, Vayikra Elov Malach Hashem Mina Shemayim, Vayomra Avram, Avram. Yes. Al Tishtach Yarcha El Hanar, Al Taslo Me'uma, Ki Ata Yadati, Ki Yare Elokim Ata. I know you will be the father of a moral, ethical, kind, compassionate nation of Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim. That is who you will father, and that's why you will not send forth your hand to kill your child. Ki Yare Elokim Ata. Perachal Beis Pasuk Gebet of Beis of Bereshis. You were prepared to give it to me. You were prepared to slaughter your son, but I know your essence is you are the father of all your Elohim. The antithesis of Amalek, and this is the enemy that we fight. It's just amazing. Really, before the Shir never even struck me. What Haman says, he doesn't even mention the men. Nar vadzakin tafinashim. He specifies who he wants to kill, the weak, the woman, the defenseless. Who does Paro begin his program of genocide with? The hour, the minute old baby. The baby's barely taking a breath and you will kill him. Who did they kill first? It was notorious, the Nazis. The elderly and the children, because they were of no use to the Third Reich. Ata ayefi yageya velo yare. Elokim, va'ato Yisrael, ma'asham el kachosh al mimach, ki'im liyira also. Yarim Chazoni has a tremendous proposition, a chiddush, if I could say that. Lo Yare Elokim is not an emotion. It's how we treat those in society who are downtrodden. It's how you treat Moshe the cripple who walks with a cane from the renowned Dr. Soloveitchik of Warsaw. Look at the difference between Amalek and Knesset Yisrael. Ezra Sarsham, we will continue next week. We will begin with this idea of Zachor as it relates to the mitzvah, Parsha Zachor. Thank you so much to everybody. Kol Tov. And a good Shabbos to all.